I've always loved doing it, and you know, I was very keen to do it. But when I grew up, I had 8 brothers, and my parents lived on the land. And at that time, in the 50s and 60s, which is a long time ago, it was almost unheard of to think there's someone to sort of make a living out of painting. It wasn't even allowed or thought of where I came from, and you couldn't even buy paints. So I eventually convinced my parents to send me to a college called Christian Brothers in Waverley, actually, in Sydney, where they said they taught painting or whatever, but they wouldn't allow me to study painting at all. They wouldn't even allow me to go to an art gallery, actually.
So what were they saying when you sort of expressed that interest as a kid?
They said, forget it. And the headmaster asked me to do a drawing for him, which I did, and he ripped it up in front of me and said, go away. So I ended up studying medicine as a result.
Very different career change, not even something in sort of the creative field, medicine.
There was no avenues at that time. It's funny, that school now, because what they said was my mum had disappeared down the road. She said, the brother just turned to me and said, look, we've never taught art here, ever, and we're never going to. And funny, because the first weekend we could go out, or the first Sunday we could go out, we had to write down where we were going in those days. You had to write down and say, am we going to see my auntie or whatever, with a phone number or whatever. And so I wrote down without thinking where I was going. And then we lined up to go. And the brother just said, everyone can go except Eris Fleming. He's got to get changed. He's not going anywhere. So I thought I must have murdered someone or something. And I went and seen the brother, and he just said, you've got down here, you're going to the art gallery in New South Wales. And I said, that's right. He said, no, we won't let you do that. That was almost the last time that I ever told anyone I was interested in art.
Why were they so against you even going to view art, let alone paint yourself?
Well, this sounds rather corny and stupid, but I did ask them eventually, and they said, it's an occasion of sin, because I might see a nude painting. And it's funny, because I actually then, you know, the school was based on science, and so I did physics and chemistry and maths 1 and 2 and all that stuff. And eventually I won the prize for chemistry at the end of 50. And then out came Angus and Robinson to pick out all these books. And, of course, I naturally just picked a book on art. And, of course, I was trying to get my book and I didn't get it. So I went back to the brother and said, what happened to my book? He said, oh, we went through and there'd be occasions of sin in that book. So I was 17 at that time, but they still wouldn't let me have a book on art.
What effect did that have on you, being told that you couldn't see art, you couldn't do art, you had to study this different route? You couldn't even sort of, as you said, tell people that you wanted to do art.
I never told anyone. I only ever told my horse, and the horse was more receptive than anyone else. And then I studied medicine without telling anyone about it. I took Judy out and got married without telling her. But when I graduated in medicine, I worked out the most farthest distance I could go from anywhere of anyone who would influence me. So I went to Albury, which is as far as I could go from away from anyone. And that's where I went to work for 3 years.
And how soon were you away from, I guess, that circle of influence that had been over your life for so long? Did you pick up a paintbrush and even tell your wife that, you know, you can paint?
I was still on my own then, but it took me about 10 days. And that was still when I was working nearly 100 hours a week.
How did that change your life?
What happened then, it was a very slow or relatively slow process, because when you were working as a resident then, we were working nearly just 98 hours a day a week we were working, and that was for a sum total of $48. And so you're absolutely exhausted most of the time. But by the second year, I was becoming much more interested in doing it. And by the time about 6 years was up, I was determined to do something else.
How, I guess, relieving was it to be able to have that creative outlet that you'd been craving for so long?
It was fantastic, actually. But it was, it's so long ago now and so different that I almost forget that I practice medicine. But it's not an easy thing to do. And doing what I did was the hardest way to do it in a way, very hard way to do it anyway, because you're starting from a long way behind. A lot of people who are painting or painters or artists have been painting a lot since they were 10, 12. Certainly by the time they're 18 and 19, they're off at art school painting like crazy. And so I was 27, 28, 29 when I really started where I could actually even buy paints and afford them and get some time to paint.
What was the decision like? How difficult was it for you to give up medicine and become an artist full time?
In hindsight, it sounds hard. It wasn't that hard for me because I was rather desperate. But, you know, if I hadn't had sort of Judy backing me, probably I wouldn't have done it, probably. But she said, have a go at it. And I was able to survive. And, you know, I think it was a lucky time in terms of when I did do it. It was a good time for selling paintings from the late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Was a very good time for selling paintings.
What were those challenges in the early days? Were there ever a time where you're like, what have I done?
About once a week. But the thing about that was that what happened is one of the things I'd always hated, and one of the few things I hated about it, I liked a lot of things about medicine. If I hadn't had my painting, then I would have been quite happy in medicine. But the thing that really irritated me was control of time. I always wanted to control my own time, and I often say that to people, especially doctors, when you're talking about it, and they look at you with this very peculiar look on their face, and most of them don't know what to think of it. And every now and again, one will come back and say, you know, I wish I had something I could do where I control my time. But the thing that people don't realise about medicine is that someone else is always controlling your time. Even in the middle of the bloody night at midnight, there's someone controlling your time. Mm-hmm. And that was the hardest thing, because even when I was painting like that, the phone would ring and I'd have to drop everything and away you'd go. And so it was very frustrating from that point of view.
But here we are now, sitting in your studio. Tell us about your artwork for people who haven't seen it across the region. What's your style and medium?
I'm no good at defining what it is, but the medium that I use is nearly always oil. But when I started painting, I did a lot of work and research on different mediums and how to think. When they say oil painting these days, those tubes are just a bit of pigment ground in linseed oil. Now, what happens in my case to make that paint any good at all? I mix it in a beeswax medium that I mix up myself, and that changes radically how paint works for me.
Still using that science element of your education.
Well, there is a bit, because I do a lot of cooking. But beeswax is a very old medium in painting. It goes back, a lot of them, to the wax paintings go back to Egyptians in various forms, just wax in pigment. They're the original paintings and things like that. And then if you fast forward to Van Gogh, that he used a lot of beeswax mediums at one point. A lot of other people used different mediums. But with paintings, the number of different combinations of mediums, whether it's painting on cardboard. And people frown when you say cardboard, for instance, because they associate cardboard with crap and whatever. But see, many of the famous artists that use a lot of painting on cardboard, like Toulouse-Lautrec, nearly all his paintings are on cardboard. Famous paintings are on cardboard. A lot of Picasso's are on cardboard. There's one up in Brisbane in the gallery and it's on cardboard. A lot of the German Expressionist paintings are on cardboard. Or paper. And when you say paper, they think, oh, well, painting on paper is an impossibility. What I'm talking about is watercolour paper, which is 100% cotton, which is what canvas is. Mm. So there's all kinds of mixtures of mediums and things that make people's paintings, and they're all individual. If you look at someone's art, a lot of it's to do with what kind of medium they use and how they use it in combination with other parts of their repertoire. If you go back, say, to some of the blokes in like early times, and Charles Condor and some of those blokes, they used cedar, paint on cedar. And even now, you can buy cedar ply, beautiful marine cedar ply, and it's a beautiful surface to paint on. Now, that goes back to 100 years they were using the cedar ply, to paint on, and it has its own texture and surface to paint on, which is quite good. So there's all kinds of things like that you have to explore and come up with.
How does life in, I guess, rural New South Wales, but also regional and rural Australia, impact on your art, influence your art?
It does a lot for me, because I grew up at a place called Dalungra, which is in northern New South Wales, and I think there's about 35 people there. But when I was a kid, there's a couple of hundred. But a very isolated area. And I've always worked, even when I was in medicine, I worked in country areas. And I had a job for a while in the flying doctor service, but I got a thing called thyrotoxicosis, which precluded me from going there. So I've always worked in sort of pretty well far western areas and midwestern, you know, Victoria, New South Wales, and up in Queensland a bit and whatever. So that's the only part that's really interesting. I couldn't care less about the cityscape at all. It just doesn't interest me one second.
That lifestyle that we all love in regional New South Wales is very much reflected in the artwork that we see of yours. Now, as you said, you have been put your hand up to paint on a fridge. Why did you want to get involved in this project?
I didn't. but I was asked by somebody, and he was very nice about it. And so I said, yes, I'd do it. What happens is a lot of people ask you to do things, if you want to know. I'll probably sometimes have three or four people a week ask you to ring up and ask you for things, and they're all good causes. So I suppose Ron got me on a weekday. Yeah, and so I said, all right, I'll have a go at it for you.
How have you approached this challenge? Because speaking to a few of the other artists, it's a bit different painting on a fridge to a canvas.
It is, but basically what it's sort of like I was saying before, you've got to work out how to ground it, put a ground onto it, so you can then work from your ground up. Once you get your ground worked up, then you've got to decide on actually the size and shape and whatever the painting, and then the size, work out a subject that makes some sense on a fridge at all. And that's damn hard too.
So what have you done? Where's your inspiration for this come from? What have you decided for your fridge door?
Well, I don't know. It just came. So people often ask questions like that, and I have a hell of a time then, because what happens with me, I have literally over there about probably 100 sketchbooks. And those sketchbooks are basically ideas that occur to me, and I just scribble in them. And if I'm looking for something, if I write it down and if I scribble it, the idea down, and it's just a couple of words, I can then recall what I thought of at the time. And sometimes it might be 10 years old, but I can still come up with it. So that's what happened.
And you've just done something a little bit different from the other local artists we've met. You're not using the whole fridge door. Tell us about that.
I thought it was a silly thing to do, to be quite honest. I think the fridge door with just a painting on it makes a lot more sense, because it's like most fridge doors, they're going to have photos stuck all over them for a start. So I thought, I'll leave room for the photos of the kids. and I thought, it's just for me, I thought it made more sense to do it the way I did. And that varies from some person, everyone else. I think mine's probably the worst thing that ever happened. But that's just the way I thought of doing it. I looked at it for about 5 days. I thought for a moment of doing a landscape, just a straight landscape and all kinds of things like that. And then just a figurative, plain, simple figure, which would have worked, you could have done. But I thought, it's going to cop a lot of wear and tear if someone buys it to use and whatever. And so I think you're better off with something higher that it's not going to get a lot of little grubby hands all over it every day, all the time.
It's kind of a nice image to think that your painting might be alongside the next future artist's stick drawings that get hung there.
That's right, exactly. Probably better.
What have you loved about, I guess, being a part of this process and speaking to Ron, seeing how important it is for the people of this region and also Australia as well, as they mark the significance that the Electrolux factory has meant for so many people?
That is one of the reasons I did, because I think it's been a terrible thing that has happened, and I think it's happening all over Australia at the moment. And I must be honest with you, I hate the idea that we're losing job after industry to suit someone in some other country and some other silly little free trade agreement that someone's thought up down in Canberra that wouldn't even know what's going on outside it.